Well, I'm appalled, but not surprised. I think this is a par for the course for the Vatican. What I find utterly unacceptable is not that there is a disagreement around the issue of women priests. I fully respect the Vatican's opinion on that. But what I find unacceptable is the failure to allow any discussion around the issues. I mean, there are issues that are concerning a huge number of Catholics who want to remain loyal to the Church, and any discussion on those issues is simply being suppressed. Yeah. Now, you can't do that. Not in this day and age, you can't do that. People are questioning. People are wondering and discussing, and you simply can't suppress all that. So I think this is another own goal for the Vatican. They've shot themselves in the foot yet again, and they have pushed questioning and thinking Catholics, some of them anyway, just a little bit further towards the edge. Yeah. I think they seem to want a totally compliant church which isn't asking any questions, which isn't raising any issues, but simply is obedient and does exactly what it's told. If that's the church they want, it's going to be a very, very sad place, I think.
Yeah. The other issue that Father Tony Flannery was lambasted for speaking about was contraception, which is perhaps even more radical in a sense, because, you know, an awful lot of people who would be sitting in the congregations are probably using contraception and just turning a blind eye to it. Whatever about women priests, because people accept that at a level, but the Humanae Vitae ruling, people aren't accepting that at any level, are they? I mean, let's be honest.
Well, I don't know anybody who's accepting it. I think there is a huge dissent. I think actually that's what began this whole dissent movement. People simply refused to accept that this was the authentic will of God. And from their own experience of relationships and their own experience of the rearing children, they felt this could not be what God wanted for them. And in truth, and Pope Benedict said it as a Cardinal Ratzinger, your conscience is the highest authority. This is the highest moral authority, and you must obey your conscience. And if your conscience brings you into conflict with what the Church is saying, you must obey your conscience. And that's Cardinal Ratzinger that I'm quoting, not Peter McVerry. So I think, there are different views, there are disagreements. And I think people are willing to accept what ultimately the Church decides, but they're not willing to have the discussion suppressed.
Why do you think, at a time when the Church arguably are looking to increase numbers, are looking to appeal to younger generations, and, you know, trying to, this is what they say anyway, that they're always trying to bring people back to the Church, and that they're trying to reach out, what would be the motivation behind doing something like this?
I think there may be a positive motivation behind it. I suspect there's a lot of fear behind it, a fear of the Church maybe tearing itself asunder with different groups thinking different things. But I think the positive motivation behind it is that traditionally the Church has to be united to be strong. That was very much Pope John Paul's view, because he saw the need for a very strong united Church in Poland to face communism. And therefore, any rupturing of the Church or any fractures within the Church weakened the Church, and therefore weakened its power in relation to issues within our world. And so I think that's why John Paul II, who was very radical on social issues, but he subordinated justice to the unity of the Church. And wherever the justice issues threatened to divide the Church, John Paul would stand by the unity of the Church over against the justice issues. I suspect maybe there's something like that. The Vatican wants a very united Church, wants a Church that is thinking and acting and moving in the same direction. But in order to have that, you have to suppress thinking. There is also, it appears to me, from the Vatican, almost a contempt for people who disagree with it, that somehow they're bad, and they have to, it's like a cancer, they have to be cut out. People are raising issues out of a genuine concern for what is happening, and also a concern for the church. People are concerned that, one, the male clericalism that has dominated the church is unhealthy, and therefore that is one reason why people want to discuss the issue of women priests. They're concerned about the lack of priests in many parts of our world and a decreasing number of priests in Europe and in America. And they're concerned about these issues for very, very genuine reasons, and they want to discuss those issues. And that discussion is being suppressed. So I just think in this day and age, you cannot do that. You simply cannot do that. People, you cannot suppress discussion. You cannot suppress people thinking. And indeed, it's ironic that when the Pope went to Cuba, he was asking them to allow freedom of speech, and he was asking them to allow people to express different opinions and to have pluralism within the Cuban society. And yet, within the church, it's frowned upon.
On your own article on the website, you made the point that Jesus of his day spoke out against his own church of his day and was similarly lambasted for it.
I see great parallels between what Jesus and the religious institutions of his day and what's happening today. I mean, one of the things that Jesus protested against was the identification of belief in God with belief in the religious institutions, which existed in his day. And he promoted a different understanding of God, and a God who was not identified with the religious institutions. The church is God's instrument, but that's all it is. It's God's instrument. You cannot identify being a good Catholic and a good follower of Jesus with simply being a good follower of the institutional church.